Okay, let's start then. Okay. My name is Alexander Freund. We are here in Grabow, Germany, and today is the 8th of April 2009, and I'm interviewing Alexander von Plato, a very well-known German oral historian, known internationally for his work, but especially for his pioneering work in oral history in Germany. And we are doing this interview for Oral History Forum d'Histoire Orale, the journal of the Canadian Oral History Association. And we're trying to learn more about oral history in Canada. So, first of all, thank you very much for agreeing to
Oh, it's
this
a pleasure for
interview.
me, really.
And maybe we can just start with a few personal questions so that the readers or listeners can learn more about you. So maybe you can just start with where and when you were born and your family background, your schooling, your education, maybe up to the time that you met oral history for the very first time.
I'll try my very best in this short time. I was born in 1942, here in this place, nearly in this place. It was wartime, and there was no car, no hospital which was working, and therefore my mother was brought to Salzwedel, 20 kilometers far away from here, and by the pharmacist's car, the only one which was not confiscated in that time. And I do not know if it's very, it's not a big meaning, I think, for my further life, but it's the story of my mother, how I was born. And she didn't want to have this birth in our home place because all her mothers, the mother-in-law and her mother, were here. And therefore she said, no, this time I would like to have a birth in a hospital. And it was war, and there was no hospital. I think that's the story. I was educated in the so-called Volksschule in that time, people's school, ground school in the meantime. And that's, I think, has a meaning. Bedeutung?
Meaning, yeah.
Because there were only two classes, a so-called dwarf school, Zwergschule, dwarf school,
One room school on the
one-room
prairies.
school, and two classes, the first for the first to the fourth class, and then from the fifth to the eighth, and after that to the ninth class, and with only one teacher, men and as boys and girls divided, separated. Yeah, separated. The left side the boys and the right side the women,
Like
and the
church.
best were sitting behind, and the bad pupils were in front of the teacher. Yeah, and it was very hard school, very strict, and my first teacher was a refugee from the East, and he didn't understand most of the pupils of our village. Yeah, but I see I can talk about this time a lot. I think you would like to have it a little bit shorter. My family background is a land noble's background. My family and my ancestors were sitting here for 800 years, and I think they never left this district and were always here in this place. And there were only teachers, were only juristen, was is nice, attorneys.
Attorneys, yeah.
Attorneys and priests, and the third profession was military and soldiers.
Officers.
Yeah, officers, yes, at least officers, I think. And that was perhaps a possibility to leave this background, because one of the family Zweig, the family
branches
were in Russia, and one of them came back after 1917. And there were a lot of ancestors looking from the walls up to you, down to you, down to you. And it was, I think it has a meaning for the family, that you have the history of your family present. Yeah, all the time it was present by the pictures, by the narratives and or narrations from my grandmother. She has a red quart short book, like pupils. I do not know the English word. And there she had written all that what she knew about my ancestors. And then she told us a lot of stories about them. But I think only that was... only that she told us what she found interesting. And that was a very conservative consciousness about family, about the kingdom of Hanover, the Welfen, the king house, the king's family, the royal family, and such things. And only one of my ancestors was... this one was very interesting, because he lived in a time like you, she said. He lived in the time of the Befreiungskrieg, the wars against Napoleon. And this year was occupied by the French soldiers. And not only that, my ancestor was Meyer, the French district chief, yeah, and he was a mayor of under three or four powers, yeah, but she told us only how he worked very seriously for the family. He sold the products of the farmer's products like a farmer, like a peasant. You see, that was not usual in that time, but they did it to save the family's farm and estate, and therefore she was full of respect against him.
For
him, because she found that just in these difficult times, it is shown if you have a good character or not, and a strong character. And my father, for instance, lived in a time of wars again, and therefore I think the story had this meaning for her. Okay, that's the background, and you wouldn't believe it, I think, in Canada or in America, how important it was for these families, these noble, land noble families, to be among their own class. They only married within this class. They had special imaginations of that what you have to be, how you have to, the manners, for instance, how you have to look at other people's, talk with them. And I think it was very hard for a young boy like me, who lived after the divorce of my parents, outside with normal people, yeah, not in these these families like the 19th century, yes. And I came back in the vacations, in the holidays, And then I felt and saw how different the life here and the life in the cities where I was living now with my mother was, you see. And I think that was a very special situation for a growing up young boy. They have these two worlds, yeah, very different two worlds. And in each of these worlds, I have to live very special and did not talk about the other world, you see. And only when I grew up, was an adolescent, or how is it in English, I had some struggles with my family from this place here, from the estate. And that was important for my political development, because they were very conservative. They were not Nazis in the meaning of membership of the NSDAP, but in the meaning of a soldier, conservative in all manners, the relationships of sexes. Mm-hmm. In the last question, they were, on the other hand, very liberal. And they were very conservative in the sense of national consciousness. Yeah. Yes? My father was not a Nazi, but I had the suspicion a long time, because I think it's very difficult today to distinguish between völkisch national, I do not know the English word, and National Socialist, or German Nationalist from Nazis. There's a big difference in the history. But when you grew up in the time after the war, it was not such a big, well, it seemed for me not so difficult, not so important, this difference. But it was. But I didn't understand it in that time, and therefore I had big struggles. I tell you two to show you this background of these families. My first bigger struggle was about the question whether I would like to have a ring with the mit dem Wappen,
the signum
of the family.
Yeah,
yeah. It's usual in these classes or
in this sort of
milieu,
the upper class.
Yeah, that the young boys and girls get the family ring when they are confirmed, have a confirmation. That's the Protestant. It's the same in English.
Yeah,
yeah. And I asked my father if. I wouldn't like to have a ring. I would like to have a Fernglas. What's that?
Binoculars.
Binocular. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was nearly a revolution. I didn't know it before that it would be such a struggle about this question. And at the end, I got this binocular. And not this ring, but that was a sign of separation between me and my family. Uh-huh. Yeah? And the second bigger struggle was about soldiers or a political question. My uncle was a soldier, like my father during the war, but he was a professional soldier. Berufssoldat, what says that?
Professional soldier.
And he got, at the end of the war, I think 1944, the Ritterkreuz, the Knight's Cross. Hmm. It's one of orders, can I say it?
Medals.
Orden, medals. Mm-hmm. For a soldier. And in 1956, the Bundeswehr, the army, was founded again. And he was one of the founder. And during the first bigger party for him or for whatever, he had a smoking or a frack. Do you know it? What's the
smoking? I think, yeah.
Yeah, but it was a frack.
Frack.
Yeah, we have to look for it. it's a little bit more serious than
yes.
a smoking. And there he had on his color, he wore all his medals from the Second World War, very small, in a small form, but the Knight's Cross as well. And it was not a political question in the beginning. I didn't know it. I was 15 or something like that. And I asked him, nur frech, was heißt frech?
Flippantly?
Yeah. Where is the Hakenkreuz?
And the swastika.
The swastika, yes.
Yeah.
And it was a reaction. I couldn't understand it in that time. Yeah, and my father zitierte mich dahin. Was heißt das?
He
ordered me to come to him and to the uncle, and they told me how important this medal was for him. He was not a Nazi. He got it for Tapferkeit,
bravery
for his comrades during the war, and so on and so on. And I learned that I have to be careful with all these questions in my family. That was, I think, the best. And in another part of my family, there were soldiers who were involved in the 20th of July opposition.
Mm-hmm. The plot against Hitler.
And an aunt of mine was a widow because her husband was executed after that. When she came, the whole family was totally different. Yes, they didn't talk in a normal manner about the Nazi time, the war time, and so on. Yeah. But when she was there, then all were anti-Nazi and so on. I could understand it, I have to say, because the Nazis had a nearly socialist part of in their program. They entschulden, was heißt das? Die Schulden. They minimized the deaths of the farmers.
Oh, okay.
And I think my father, who got just in that time, the beginning of the Nazi time, this estate from his father, he knew that he wouldn't take it, that he wouldn't get this farm and bring it up with all these debts. Yeah? And therefore, I think a lot of farmers quoted for Hitler. My father said he never quoted for it, but he was for the Nazis. Only in this question, the farmers' policy, and perhaps in the question of anti-Versailles policy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean, yes? Against
the Versailles Treaty.
The treaty, the Schandvertrag im Deutschen.
Oh, yeah.
Ich weiß nicht, was das heißt.
Shameful treaty.
Something like that it was called. And later, 10 years later, I had a big struggle again about this question, because I asked him, What did you imagine? What does it mean, anti-Versailles? Does it mean that Poland would be vanished from the maps again? Yeah, and then he was so angry. I will tell you, I tell you these stories only to show you. In my school, I learned not very much about National Socialism, but in my confirmation education. There was a priest. What's a Protestant?
A pastor.
A pastor, the same in German. Who told us a little bit, in a very special manner, but it would lead us too far. And here I heard very different things about the National Socialism, or nothing, yes? And therefore, there was a divided world again, yes? I knew I cannot tell them what I've learned about National Socialism, not in school, not in the family, but in this confirmation education by this pastor. And all the time when I tried to talk about this, it was a big struggle, and therefore I stopped it. And I think a lot of my generation, a lot of boys and girls of my generation, stopped after a while to talk about history. Yeah, because it was clear you will earn only difficulties if you talk about that. Yeah, though they were no real... I'm quoting, I can show it, I don't, can show it in a video here, therefore I make this quote signs. He was not a real Nazi. There were a lot who were not real Nazis, but they had a lot of thinkings, a lot of political, other parts of the political program, even if there were no Nazis, you see. Mm-hmm. And you learned, I think, that you have to leave it outside. Yeah. Or if I tell you from today this question, I would say there was a break in the communication between these generations in that time. Hmm. That's an interesting question, I think, for our work after I did oral history. So the next point is I met after 10 schools. I visited grade 10?
Pardon? After grade 10? Or?
No, I visited during my school life 10 schools.
Oh.
Yeah? 13 times I had to change.
Wow.
Because here were different schools only, and they started just after the war when I started with school. And my mother was running around the world, the German world, and was not very content after the divorce from my father. Very unhappy, and I had to fill in some ways different roles. I have to be the man in the family. I was the only one who came with her from my sister and my brother. My brother was the older one, and he should heritage. He should get this farm and this estate as a heritage.
Mm-hmm.
Can I say it? I do not know.
Yeah.
Sollte das erben. Mm-hmm. And therefore, it was clear my
inherit.
Inherit.
He was going to inherit it.
Yes. Yeah. And my sister was too old, and so on. Therefore, I was the only one with my mother. And the last 3 years of my school time, I visited a boarding school. Mm. My mother went to the United States. We didn't come together in that time. And therefore, I made my final examination in German, the Abitur, in this boarding school at the Northern Sea, and after that I started to study engineering in Berlin. I went there are a lot of stories which are connected with the German history, and I do not know if I shall tell them. One story, for instance, I didn't want to go to the army. In my family, it was a crime to go not to the army. Yes, I didn't want to go. Therefore, I went to Berlin, West Berlin, in West Berlin, it was not necessary to go to the army. Mm-hmm. Yeah, therefore, I made an official change of my localities.
Okay. Yeah.
How do you call it? Ich wechselte offiziell meinen Wohnsitz.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you declared residency in West Berlin.
In West Berlin. Therefore, yeah. I didn't. It was not necessary to go to the army, and that was a big struggle again because I didn't ask anyone in my family. My mother was in the States, and perhaps they are right that I fälschen. Was heißt das nochmal? I signed my mother's with my mother's signature. Yeah, and therefore that was the other side of the struggle, yeah, that I was a fälscher, yeah,
der Unterschied. I think counterfeiter is that, yeah. I'm not quite sure.
Yes, and that was one of these very difficult questions in Germany after the war. If you didn't want to go to the army, it was in these conservative families not possible, yeah, to talk about it. And so on. Therefore, I didn't talk about it, but did it. I didn't go to the army. Went to West Berlin, studied engineering the first time. Got to know my later wife. She came from a noble family as well, but she didn't. She was like me. Yeah, we both didn't want to have the connections to all of our family, and her brother was one of these anti-authoritarian education authors. Oh. Yeah, Lutz von Werder. I do not know if you have heard from him.
I think I've heard the name.
Yeah, yeah. And with Wolf together, one of the SDS leaders.
Can you just briefly explain SDS?
I will do it in a moment. By my friend, my girlfriend, my later wife, I got these contacts to left students in a time where left students were very, very rare, yeah, very seldom. And she took me to all these discussions and so on, and I was always seen as the most conservative students they ever saw, because I came from a very, very different world. But by these people I got in contact to the Socialist Democratic Students Organization, SDS, and this was the main organization of the students' movement in Berlin. And by her, no, not by her, but nearly by her, I went to the students' theater in that time, and it was a left, wie nennt man sowas, Keimzelle. It was a left group, and with big discussions, and therefore I had these pre-discussions before the students' movement in a very, very deep manner. Yes, my first demonstration was 1964, and it was a demonstration against Jambé. Do you remember Jambé?
No.
Jambé was, or was said to be, the killer of Lumumba in Congo, the leader of the Congolese movement, people's movement, and he was killed. And Jambé was, I think it's nearly clear that he was the Schreibtischtäter, the man who gave the order to kill him.
The desk perpetrator.
Perpetrator, yes. Yeah. And therefore, my wife and me went to the SDS at that time and were involved in all parts of the students' movement. We were in the Kritische Universität, Critical University. It was founded by the students against their teachers. Mm. We were involved in all the demonstrations for the Third World, for a better students' education, the laws. The Vietnam War was a big point in this activities, and so on. I think you know it. And in that time, I was kicked out of my family. My father didn't want to have contact with me, and therefore I didn't want, or I didn't get money in that time. And I had, since I think after 1965, I had to pay for my life for myself, and therefore I went to the TV in Berlin, Sender Freies Berlin, and worked as a volunteer.
A volunteeriat?
Yeah.
An internship?
Yes, what's it?
Internship. Or
internship.
Actually a real...
Practicum? Yeah.
No, I mean it's a real education, a real training. Vocational training.
Almost. Yeah. And...
Because that's like, what, 3 years or 2 years?
No, it was only for a short time, half a year, I think. And then I stayed in this redaction.
Okay.
And got my money about the work for that. Mm. Not very... But I learned how to make films, how to work as a journalist. And that was important later when I... was the director of this institute for biography and history and biography, because it became one part of the work of the institute, mm-hmm. making films.
Yeah.
And then I think about a very small problem and question, I was kicked out of the TV.
Station.
Now I know what I want to say, but I think is it necessary to tell you all these stories? But I was fired from the TV because one of the I had a discussion in this feature with Wagenbach. Perhaps you know him. It's a publisher.
Oh, okay.
And Rotbuch,
yeah.
Zum Beispiel, we talked about his journal for teachers and pupils, mainly for pupils. And he published a lot of belletristic
literature,
which was different from those you normally learn. Yeah, it was more revolutionary, as you can say it. And at the end, we discussed about the possibilities of political action in schools and can literature stand for political questions and revolution and so on. Yeah? And that was censured.
Yeah.
And Wagenbach, the publisher, was so angry that we accused the broadcasting. The TV, and we lost, and then I didn't get any other or further work for this, and worked for others under not under my name and so on, because I 1 year I think I was fired. 68, I think about 68, but then I worked 1 or 2 years for the radio. Not for the TV, for the broadcasting.
But for the same station.
Yeah, but after 2 years, the same person who had fired me was my boss again, and then I didn't get anything more, and so on. But in that time, it was the main time of the students' movement in Berlin, and I think I was not, I did not agree to the more and more violence in these discussions and in the activities. It was not a moral question for me, I have to confess. Yeah? I think it was not a principle to be without violence for me in that time. But I thought, what does it mean if you are alone as students and make some of these, or make these forms of demonstrations and have these fights with the police and so on. And therefore my political aim was to go outside, not any longer only in the students' movement. And I asked for a job by the trade unions, 1967. The IG Chemie Papier Keramik, it sounds funny in English, I think.
It's an industrial
trade union for chemistry.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Chemical factories and,
yeah, and papers and
yeah.
so on.
Which was one of the biggest ones.
Yeah, one. In the meantime, it's with some others together and does not have the same name. Mm-hmm. And I got the job for an education as a teacher, working as a teacher for young workers and white collar, wie nennst du die, also angestellte employees.
White collar employees.
Yeah.
White collar workers.
And only for 3 years, and I was fired again. Because it was a very successful teaching at that time, and one of the first who went into the working class, you see. Yes, and then to make it shorter, I was part of the Young Communist Party, and
when you say Young Communist Party,
it was founded. Again. The Communist Party was forbidden in Germany mm-hmm. after 1956, and it was a very, very interesting judgment against the Communist Party, and under the chancellorship of Willy Brandt, they tried to make it.
To reverse it,
but they couldn't because it was a judgment of the highest court. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and therefore they had an agreement not to build up the Communist Party again, but to call it a little bit different. Mm-hmm. In former times it was called KPD, Communist Party of Germany. And now it was refounded, not by us, but those who were comrades of the Moscow line, yeah? And it was called German, as a DKP, only a little bit, a little change with the letters, by the letters?
Yeah, with the letters.
And after the occupation of the Czechoslovakia by the armies of the Warsaw Pact, Warsaw Treaty states, many members of the SDS demonstrated against this occupation. Me too, and my wife. We demonstrated against it, but that meant if we would like to have a new left party, it couldn't be this one, this refounded party by the Moscow line and within the communist movement. And therefore we built up a new one. It was very hard and it got more and more left radical, and we could have a lot of discussions about it now. But I shortened it and say I was one of the co-founders of this new left Communist Party, and had functions within it, higher functions, and it lasted a long time for me to change my political opinion. And then I was I had work as a teacher in the Protestant academy in Felix.
So the communist, what was that communist party called?
KPD again. It was the same. The same name as before, yes, when it was forbidden. That was a program, not to have this Moscow line, but again the older one.
Okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then I was at the Evangelische Akademie, or the Evangelische Studienberg, hieß es in Phoenix.
Huh.
But so then I was...
Like adult education.
Yeah, for students mostly, but not only. Mm. And it was a very, very nice job, but I was fired as well, again, because there was a meeting of a, not of this Communist Party, but of an anti-imperialistic group, and I did allow it. And therefore I was the bad man, the bad boy, and had to go. But... then there was another political story. In that time, even just in that time, 1974, Allende was killed and thrown out. I do not know. Also, he lost his job and his life. Yeah, and how do you call them? As a very, very conservative, nearly fascist group got the power in Chile. And in that time, we asked the church to give us the allowance to import, I do not know a better word in English, to import a family who was threatened by the Pinochet government.
Oh.
Yeah? Really threatened. We got this paper, but it was, and it couldn't be different, it was a blanco formula. Uh-huh. Is it the same word in English?
Yeah.
And we got 72 persons, not only one family, 72 persons into Germany. We brought them to Germany by this only one paper, because we always filled it up with new names. Yeah? I was involved in this, but the main person was a colleague, a friend in that time, who now is the chief of the Protestant Church in North Rhine-Westphalia. It's interesting. And I tell it to you because it's only far away where it will be published, I think. I do not know if you would like to be reminded to this story.